Today is very interesting Torah portion. Vayatzeh, he went out. I call my message or this time purpose-driven life or born to be a blessing. It's either way, it's good. And today's Torah chapter from the Torah is very interesting personally to me because Jacob, he is one of my favorite example in life. I would like to look at Jacob's life from a perspective that many people or some people would say some people would never or have never considered before. So, who is familiar with the story of the life of Jacob? Not everyone. It's two options, or somebody is sleeping, or something wrong. I will take the first option, it's easier. Yes, so first option is easier. You can continue to do that. So I want to share a very short version of the Jacob's story, and it's very famous. I mean, many people think this way. So it's not my opinion, but this is how it is. Have you heard that even before his birth, he fought with his brother Esau, Jacob? By deceit, he stole his father's blessing. By tending the sheep, he robbed an honest Laban. And you know, Laban was an honest person. And by lying, he reconciled with Esau. So this is like short story in many, many people's minds. This is the Yaakov. What to do is Yaakov, you know. Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, you know. And only when the Lord met him in a cave and fought with him, Jacob was completely transformed from a deceiver, Yaakov. Somehow, Yaakov's name means deceiver in somebody's mind. I don't know how. Into the man of God, Israel. So he was liar Jacob, now he is Israel, man of God. This is a very common version of Jacob's life in the Christian world, very common. And even in some circles within the Jewish world. This is a common story of Jacob's life. And it said, but some biblical teachers build their teachings on this version of the story. And there are even a number of works written on this subject. I personally had experience with some of them. Today, I would like to share a completely different, I believe, biblical perspective on the life of the patriarch, Jacob. He is the patriarch. Let's look at the life of this special man with whom the Lord declared to have a bond, even asserting himself to be the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and guess who? Jacob. So something more deeper here, yeah? If the Lord calling himself the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But before I begin, I would like to share an important observation that I made a few years ago. Personally, it was my experience. Examining a chapter from the Torah, I decided to study the interpretations of some biblical scholars and some rabbis on the subject, one of the subjects. Actually, it was about Abraham. And I was extremely surprised that some, not everyone, but some reviewers of the Bible copy each other. Sometimes one reviewer offering the idea of another as his own opinion, just copying word by word, contradicting the Torah without even trying to figure out what is the meaning of the original source. What does it mean in the scriptures? And I can only imagine how many people in search of answers to their questions take someone else's opinions for the truth, reading articles that appears beautiful at first glance, and not trying to find out for themselves what the original source really says. And I think every one of us, we have sometimes in some areas the same mistakes, and it's normal, we are people. So today's Torah chapter very clearly shows what a mistakes this can become, to take someone's opinion as your opinion. So Jacob, let's say together Jacob. Actually, he was Yaakov. I would like to introduce you Yaakov, not Jacob. Jacob was a king. And here's Yaakov, a Jewish man. You see a different picture here, yeah? From the name. So who was he really? Why did he and not his older brother Esau became a patriarch of our people? And did the Lord bless the deceit and accept the lies of Jacob and reject the honest and truthful Esau? Was it true? If so, then it turns out that the Lord encouraged untruth. If he blessed untruth, it means that, come on, we have room to go, a lot to do. But, of course, this is not the case. In Psalms 45, verse 7, or some translations, verse 8, it's different translations. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. This is this essential of the Lord. He loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Here's our Lord. He's truthful. So what is the real truth about the story of Jacob? Let's begin our study with the previous chapter of the Torah, Parshat Toldot. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 25. And please keep your finger there, because we will read chapter 25, 26, 28 a couple times. So today is the time to tear down our prejudice about Jacob, to look at him from biblical point of view, to see him in the scriptures. So Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. I start reading from 21st. Isaac prayed to Adonai on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. Adonai answered his plea, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children struggled with one another inside her. And she said, "If it's like this, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of Adonai. I like this place of scripture, because people think about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but here's Rebecca, woman of God. She went to find what's going on with her. And she goes to the Lord. She asks him what's happening with her. And verse 23, Adonai said to her, to woman of faith, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from your body will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other people, but the older will serve the younger." Verse 24. When her time came to give birth, indeed there was twins in her womb. Now the first came out reddish. All of him was like a fur coat. He was ready for winter, yeah. And they named him Esau. Verse 26. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding unto Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when he fathered them. So why he was named Jacob? Yaakov. Let's take Jacob aside and say Yaakov, because we speak about Jewish guy with name Yaakov. So Yaakov came from the word Akef. It means heel. It's not a deceiver, not a liar. It's heel, simply. So name Jacob means, or Yaakov means, heel catcher. The hoof follows upon the heel of others, or one. Heel catcher, Yaakov. So what's happened there? Rebecca experienced such a severe pregnancy that she went to pray in order to understand what was happening and what to do next. So she asked the Lord for advice, for answer. What to do? What is going on with me? Why it's so difficult for me? Because this is something you promised to us, to our family, but now I have so much pain. What is going on? And when she prayed and asked the Lord why she was suffering so much, she received a clear answer from God. It was clear answer from her. It's in Torah, no doubt. But the older will serve the younger. This was the answer from the Lord. From whom? From the Lord. Clear? Clear. Obvious? Obvious. So first, I would like to immediately make it clear that Jacob did not steal the birthright blessing. It was given to him by God even before he was born. How can you steal something that's yours from the Lord before he was born? Romans chapter 9. It's not only my understanding, because you can find this the Paul understanding in the scriptures. Rabbi Shaul or Apostle Paul in the Romans chapter 9 from verse 10 to 14. You can find very interesting view from Paul's idea, from his understanding of the scriptures. And not only this, but also God gave Rebekah twins, two sons from one act with our father Isaac. Yet before the sons were even born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose and choice might stand not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Clear enough. So what's happened there? Rebecca received a word from the Lord that Jacob was the continuer of the blessed line of the chosen people. She received it from the Lord. She was a mother who was able to hear the voice of God and submit to the will of the Lord. She submitted to the will of the Lord because it was his calling upon Jacob's life. She remembered the word from the Lord and conveyed it to her youngest son, thereby helping Jacob to enter his calling, because it was his calling from the Lord. And I would like to make point here, very important moment. It was Rebecca, it was she. She was the one who were able to push Jacob, to push Yaakov, to fight for his calling. She created the plan by which he might receive the blessing from his father Isaac. It was her idea. She told him what to do and how to do and when to do. And remember, she was Isaac's wife. Very important moment. Very important moment. So she knows, she knew how to do and when to do and what to do. It was her vision from the Lord. So he agreed, Yaakov agreed with vision of his mother. She told Yaakov how and when to approach his father, because she knew the promise and the word from the Lord, and she was a promise keeper. It's my opinion, according to the scripture. So second thing, I would like to look at what the Torah, or how the Torah describes Jacob and Esau. Let's look at the scriptures, what the Torah says about them. So let's open Genesis 25. And please keep 25 always. From verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau became a man knowledgeable in hunting, an outdoorsman, while Jacob was a mild man, remaining in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. Yeah, I mean, good reason, for sure. But Rebekah loved Yaakov. So, the Torah describes Esau, Esav ish yodea, tzait ish sadeh, like man, knowledgeable, experienced in hunting, learner, capable, adroit. So he was a good man. He was able to feed his family. He knows wild game. He knows how to pray, how to find food for his family. So Esau was prominent and promising, succeeding in earthly life. And for this, his father loved him. It said here, for this, because he was a good hunter. And this is the reason. Torah described this reason. For this, his father loved him and considered him worthy and strong. Strong enough to be a continuer of the family line, of the life of the family. So Jacob was mild. Let's say together mild. Or Yaakov was mild. In Hebrew, it means it ish tam. The word tam, I don't think it's accurate translation here. Because word tam in Hebrew means blameless, perfect, complete, morally innocent, having integrity, the one who is morally pure, gentle, and innocent. This is the word tam in Hebrew. I think this is the opposite of how many biblical commentators describe Jacob as a liar and deceiver, because Torah speaks about him as an ish tam, man of integrity. So why do so many people look at Jacob as a liar? What's the reason? I think it's my opinion, personally, because he is Israel, a Jew. And if some other child was born holding on to the heel of his brother, everyone would say, how sweet, cute. Everyone would take a picture, you know, selfie picture. My son, he's so cute, he holds somebody's brother. But Yaakov, he's a Jew, and the problem. He's supposed to be bad, you know, because he's a Jew. And this is the nature of blind anti-Semitism. Jews always guilty, always, doesn't matter what. So this is the reason why some people think that he was a liar, only because he held his brother heel. It's enough. So one very interesting lesson from the Torah. Word tam in scriptures, we can find it 13 times in the Bible. And I would like to show where it is and what it means, what it describes to us, the word tam. Psalm 37, verse 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. 37, 37. Really beautiful place of scripture. Notice the man of integrity. And the man of integrity, it means in Hebrew, ish tam. Ooh. Ish tam. Notice the man of integrity and watch the upright. For the man of shalom has a future. Ish tam, man of integrity. The same name Yaakov has. And what does it mean, watch? It means, look at him. He's a good example for your life. Look at his life. Copy him. Man of integrity. Another place, I like this place, is Genesis chapter 17. One of the, I think, so, so beautiful place of Scripture. Genesis 17, verse 1, first verse. When Abraham was 99 years old, Adonai appeared to Abram, and he said to him, I am El Shaddai. Continually walk before me, and you will be blameless. Tamim. I like, you will be blameless, Abraham, if you will walk with me. And Yaakov described in scriptures as a Tam, already blameless. Abraham, you will be blameless. Yaakov wasn't living with his parents, and he was Ishtam, blameless man. Very interesting. Exactly the same word that describes the character of Jacob is used in the Bible to describe the character of Job. And there is not a single person in the Bible whom the Lord would call the word Tam. Only one. Job. Yaakov. And Job. Two people in the scriptures with the word Tam. Ishtam. Job 1:1, first chapter, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now that man was blameless, Ishtam. Man blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Two people in the scriptures, Yaakov and Job. Blameless. And what's interesting for me, Job was honored to see the Lord. He saw the Lord. He had interesting discussion with the Lord. And Jacob also had the honor of seeing the Lord twice, face to face. And the second time he saw Yeshua, and not only saw him, but whole night he prayed to him. If you remember our messages from before about this special place, Penuel, face of God, when Yaakov was able to see Yeshua face to face and pray to him whole night. So Torah describes Jacob as a humble, God-fearing, moral man, man of integrity and pleasing to the Lord. It's very important to understand and to know. Actually, we will read it, but do you remember promise? Who will see the Lord? Pure in heart. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah. So let's look at Isaac's attitude to Esau and the blessing of Jacob. Let's look from Isaac's point of view. It's very interesting to see what's going on there. And before we'll go and read, I would like to mention something important. In the days before the priesthood of Levi, birthright meant not only inheritance, but most important, a priesthood in family. Before Levi, before Moses' time. The firstborn son became the priest for the family, the one who appeared before God and the whole family. So it was very important. The one who would take faith of father and bring it to his son. This is the work of priests, to keep faith, to continue with faith. Isaac, like every good father, looked at the life of his sons in human terms. Every good father looked at his sons and his family. Esau, successful, prominent, strong, one who can take care of himself, one who is able to protect his family, one who is successful in the eyes of others. He was a successful man, and he was a good man. He was not a bad man. I don't think Esau was bad. He was good. But here's the most important thing to note. According to the laws of the time, it was the firstborn son who was given his father's blessing to extend and preserve the clan. It was according to that laws and rules. And obviously, Esau met this criteria. Obviously, he was the one for the job in the eyes of Isaac. He was good. But unfortunately for Esau, he neglected his birthright and he married foreign women against the will of his parents. It was one of the signs of rebellious spirit inside of him. I don't know. He was not interested in spirituality. And I think Esau would not be able to extend and preserve the seed of the family of Abraham and Isaac. He was not capable, I think, according to the scriptures, to preserve faith of Abraham, Isaac, and to pass it to next generations. He was not interested in this. It was not for him. Genesis 26, you can turn page. Verse 34. 26:34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. Do you remember how careful was Isaac with his future wife? How long it took for him to find good wife? It involved the Lord to be part of this plan. But it's not for Esau. He has shortcut. He just went and took couple. One is not enough. Let's take two. So he took his wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a burden to Isaac and Rebekah. They were a burden to Isaac and Rebekah. Something wrong. So Esau clearly saw that foreign daughters were not pleasing to his parents. And I think one of the reasons, because it was idolatry around and lots of idols, lots of sin around. So he brought the foreign gods into his family. Also, we can read an amazing story that shows how Esau related to spiritual blessings, how dear it was for him, to the priesthood in the house. So let's go back to Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 32. You can read from 30 and later, but I would like to read from 33. So Jacob said, you know the story. Esau coming from hunting, and he want to eat. You know, he want to eat so badly, so he's dying. I mean, who had the same experience? You're ready to do everything, you know, because you're hungry. I'm stopping here. I can go too deep there. So Jacob said, and remember, Jacob knows the promise from the Lord. Jacob said, make a pledge to me now. So he made a pledge to him and sold his birthright to Yaakov. Then Yaakov gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. And this is Torah saying about Esau. It's not my opinion. This is Torah opinion. So he neglected his birthright. He sold it for nothing, for stew, for borscht. Actually, borscht is good. Somebody would think twice about borscht, yeah? Yeah, I like borscht, but I would not sold my birthright for borscht. Okay. In other words, Isa says, why do I need this birthright and with it the priesthood? I don't need it. I'm hungry. I need now. I want to eat now. What does it mean for me, this birthright? I can't touch it. I can see it. I want to eat. For Isa, birthright is something that is invisible, incomprehensible, and unprofitable. And with the birthright, the priesthood was of no interest to Isa. No interest. But anyway, I believe it's my opinion. Isaac knew the will of the Lord. I think so, because it's the family. And I think if she heard from the Lord, and if it's in the Torah, it's not a hidden thing. It was obvious. So he, Isaac, knew the will of God was to bless Jacob or Yaakov, because it showed in the scriptures earlier. And despite of that, he wanted to bless Esau, and it was in contrary to the word from the Lord to his wife. Anyway, he wanted to bless Yaakov because it was his older son. He was good. He was successful. Every good thing was in him, except this small, small detail. He doesn't care about the Lord at all. Maybe a little bit, I don't know, but not much enough. And we know the story, Genesis 27, when he invites his older son, Isaac invites his son Esau, and he told him, go and bring me some food, catch something, and I will eat, and I will die, and pray for you before I die. So, and verse 5, 27:5. Now Rebecca was listening then Isaac when Isaac was speaking to Esau, his son. And you know the plan. She came up with a plan what to do. And do it now. This is only time to do that. And now, please, let's think for the moment. Let's imagine for the moment. Can you imagine what would happen if Esau inherited the birthright? I don't think we would be here. No. Because the line of Abraham faith would be interrupted. It will be God of Isaac, God of Abraham and Isaac. Not Esau anymore. Because Esau was not able to link the faith of Abraham to his children. And we read it right now in the Torah. So it's only my understanding. The mistake of Isaac was not that he blessed Jacob. His mistake was that he wanted to bless Esau. And by the grace of the Lord and his mercy, the Lord changed everything through women of faith who were able to listen to the voice of the Lord and to push his youngest son, do it right now. Okay, let's think from Yaakov's point of view. So when Yaakov agreed to go to the father and to take the blessing of birthright, he literally, please think about it, he literally sacrificed everything in his life for the sake of the favor of the Lord. He put his life on the altar of sacrifice. He lost everything in the literal sense of this word. Everything. He lost his father and mother. He never saw them again. He lost his brother. He lost inheritance. He lost everything. He had to leave everything he had and save his life with nothing. In a foreign land, having only the faith and blessing of his father. It's all. He had to start his life over. That was a real sacrifice. And you know, in my experience, when somebody trying to lie or deceive somebody, it was bad attempt. He left. He lose everything. If somebody tried to lie, is for what? For what reason? To gain something. To gain money or to gain possession. In case of Yaakov, he lost everything. Literally everything. With nothing. All the inheritance and possession of Isaac should have gone to Esau because Esau stayed with parents. And we know the story, continuation of the story. Let's open Genesis chapter 28. It's about Isaac's perspective. I think Isaac finally saw the light. It's my opinion. We can see that he recognized that it is Jacob who is to continue the family line. He calls on Jacob the second time and blessed him once again. If Isaac would be angry on Yaakov, he would never call him again. So he invites him second time. And he's blessing him again in verse 1. So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him. Verse 3. Now may El Shaddai bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you will become an assembly of peoples. And may he give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojourn, which God gave to Abraham. You see, so Isaac, he's blessing again his son, the second time. Now he knows that this is Yaakov. So, and the fourth, the last, and we have only 1 hour ahead of us, so now. But let's go to the point number four. The most importantly, let's see what the Lord says about Jacob. What is Lord's reaction on Yaakov? So, please, think about it carefully. The first thing that happened to Jacob when he lost everything and chose the spiritual blessing, the first thing, the next night, he left everything. The Lord came to him in a dream, blessed him, and gave him a great revelation about Beit El, house of God. It was the first revelation about house of God. And he gave it to Ishtam, man of integrity, Yaakov. It is in chapter 28, verse 11, and I want to read it. He happened upon a certain place and spent the night there, for the sun had set. So he took one of the stones from the place and put it by his head and lay down in that place. He had nothing, only stone in that place. He dreamed, all of a sudden, there was a stairway set up on the earth, and it stopped reaching to the heavens. And behold, angels of God going up and down on it. Surprisingly, Adonai was standing on top of it, and Adonai said, I am Adonai, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the land, and you will burst forth to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, please be careful here, and in you, it's the Lord saying to Isaac, to Jacob, to Yaakov. And in you, all the families in the earth will be blessed. And in your seed. Adonai himself, he is confirming this calling. Behold, I am with you. And I will watch over you wherever you go. I am with you. And I will bring you back to this land, and I will not forsake you until I have done what I promised you. Amazing story. This is the reaction of the Lord on Yaakov. Man of integrity. Ishtam. And you know this story, second time, after many years of his difficult work of this very honest uncle Laban. He barely survived these years of work. So he left with his wives, with possession, everything. So on the way, Yeshua himself appeared to him in the cave. And you, if you remember the teaching, we talk about it. Yeshua himself, he came to Yaakov and he gave him name Israel. It's an incredible story. I think, it's my opinion, in spite of many comments by people with opinions to the contrary, the Lord appeared to Jacob, not because Jacob was a crafty and a liar until the Lord came to change him, I believe, but because Jacob was righteous and gentle, tam, upstanding. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't see in scriptures that the Lord reveal himself to evil people. I don't see here. Jacob valued his priesthood. The will of God and God's call upon his life. He overcame many difficulties and trials in his life, but was rewarded for his faithfulness by receiving his spiritual inheritance. God's blessing upon his life and by his inclusion as one of the patriarchs, God referring to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the life of Jacob teaches us what a believer is, one who puts his own will on the altar of sacrifice and makes every effort to fulfill God's will. And this is the purpose and meaning of our faith. The last place of Scripture, Yeshua himself explained in just a few words what true faith is all about. And I would like to open Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And please open with me Matthew 16, 24. It's an important place for today. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits its soul, his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Actually, this was part of Yaakov's life. He really sacrificed everything because he had a calling from the Lord. Before he was born, the Lord told his mother, youngest, we will be one who will continue the line of faith, faith of Abraham and your faith, faith of Isaac. Be strong. Follow me. Don't go left or right. Follow me. Follow me. Take up your cross, the instruments of your own death, the place where your will, desires, goals, and plans are put to death for his sake. It is then that the will of God and his goals are resurrected within you. Then you can be confident in your future for the Lord. So I would like to stop here, and I would like to pray for all of us that we will be able to listen, to hear the voice of God and to say yes to his voice, even if it will cost something for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful congregation, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time together, Lord, in your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence on this place. Lord, thank you for Yaakov. Thank you for his life and for his example, Lord. Thank you so much for everything for us. Bless us, Lord, to follow you, Lord, to be strong, to be straight with you, Lord, to choose always your will in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much. We thank you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Let's close our service with the anointing benediction. Please stand and find somebody, not be alone.
Everybody standing together. As always, please close your eyes and let this prayer wash over you. I try my best to pray this with as much heart as I can. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai, Adonai, P'nav Elecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom. Truly, may God bless you.
Shabbat Shalom, and please don't forget to pick up your children, your kids. They're waiting for you. Shabbat Shalom.